We'll read verses 1 through 7, and I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kedesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this.' And God said unto him in a dream, 'Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, Father, for the topic that I'll be addressing tonight. I pray, Father, it would be meaningful to each and every one of us. It would be something that each and every one of us would be known for. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Abimelech was a king. And in those days, if a king saw a beautiful woman in that land and he desired her, he simply took her to be his wife. Now, Abimelech took Sarah with the idea that she was Abraham's sister, all because Abraham was not being honest about her being his wife. So God comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, You are but a dead man because you took another man's life. Abimelech explains, "Well, I didn't know that. I was lied to by both of them. Abraham said she is my sister, and Sarah said that Abraham was her brother. In the integrity of my heart have I done this." Then the Lord responds by saying to Abimelech, "Yes, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart." Twice in these verses, it mentions the integrity of the heart. And the Lord knows if we have integrity in the heart or not. When you read this account, you see that Abraham and Sarah lacked integrity while the unbelieving Abimelech possessed it. Now that's tragic. Yet it still happens today. For many lost people have integrity, while many who are saved simply don't have or possess integrity of heart. Integrity is by no means perfection. For none of God's people are without sin, but it does mean that we are blameless and we do not willfully act against the known will of God. Daniel was a person of integrity, so much so that his enemies decided to conspire against him in order to get him in trouble with the king. But how he handled himself concerning the affairs of the kingdom was so above board, they had to resort to passing a law that was against what the Lord would have Daniel do. We read this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 through 8. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever, all the presidents of the kingdom." Now, was that true? Daniel was a president. Would you think he'd agree to what they're about to pass? Not at all. The governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, Daniel had integrity, but none of these bums did. Daniel's enemies paid him, however, a high compliment for his faithfulness, for his honesty, and his diligence in doing what was right by God, the king, and his fellow man. Daniel was not a hypocrite. He was not living a double life. Daniel lived to be true to the Lord and to the king that he served. Law or no law was going to affect him from practicing his faith, and the consequences for breaking the unjust law these men imposed upon him would not prevent him from beseeching the Lord in prayer. Don't you think Daniel thought this out? Don't you think it crossed his mind that he could have stopped praying for 30 days and he could have reasoned, well, I'm not going to stop praying forever. I'll just quit beseeching the throne of grace until the enforcement of this law is over. And then I can start again and I won't get into any trouble. No, he decided to continue to do as he always had done because it was the right thing to do, law or no law. When right is legal, it is right. And when right is illegal, it's still right. Joseph was also a person of integrity. Potiphar's wife pressed him daily to come lie with her. Well, the day came when Joseph happened to be in the house alone with her, and she took hold of his vesture, but he fled from her, said, "Feet don't fail me now," and he left with his virtue intact. He even told her this in Genesis 39, verse 9. "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back, speaking of Potiphar, anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And sin against God. He wasn't so concerned about what Potiphar thought. He was concerned about what God would know about him. These words let us know that he was more concerned about what God knew than Potiphar finding out what he had done. He didn't care about what anyone else thought. He did care, however, what God knew. And Joseph wanted God to know that he is a person of integrity. Now, it's quite difficult to get one with integrity in trouble because they're always trying to do the right thing. Those with no integrity have no qualms doing what is wrong when it benefits them. They will compromise what is right in order to please others. They just can't seem to be straight up honest. Honesty is the best policy when it suits them best. But dishonesty will work when it's a better option. Honesty is part of integrity. But so is fidelity and transparency. I'm talking about having nothing to hide. Not putting on an act. No hypocrisy. Being what you profess to be and not pretending to be something you are not. All of us ought to be better believers than we are. And we ought to be laboring on our growth spiritually. But it is terribly wrong to give the impression that we are some type of super saint when our faithfulness and fidelity to the Lord is lacking and our word cannot be counted on. One ought to honestly say what they mean and mean what they say. Your word should be counted on. It should be believable. And it should be unquestioned. So many believers find lying to be the solution to a problem. And like Abraham and Sarah, they ruin their testimony before others, and they are not trustworthy. Psalm 15 gives us a description of integrity. If you want to turn there, you can. Now, it just has five verses, but it tells us the qualities of a person with integrity. Now, in those 100 words, we are told, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, the psalmist here isn't talking about one who is going to heaven. He's talking about a place where we should be abiding today. He then tells us who, when he writes, he that walketh uprightly, or he that does the right thing, or what is right in the sight of God. Then he says, and worketh righteousness. He doesn't just believe what is right. He does right. You know, and if you truly believe something is right from the God's word, it ought to affect your behavior and you ought to be a doer of it. He works at what is right. You may wonder, how does one know what is right? Well, isn't that what we have a Bible for? Is it not profitable for doctrine? You say, what's that? That means it tells us what's right. It's profitable for reproof. It tells us where we're wrong. It's profitable for correction. It'll tell us how to get right. And it instructs us in righteousness as it tells us how to stay right. So if I work righteousness, won't I be working what the Bible says is right to do? As believers, we are to put the truth of the scriptures to work by applying and practicing what God has written into our lives. It goes on to say, and he speaketh the truth. You know, a person of integrity is not a liar. They're not deceitful. They will tell it like it is. The Bible says we are to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we are to speak the truth with grace. We are not to make it better than it is or worse than it is. The other day, someone was telling me about somebody, and they said, yeah, they told me they're going broke, and I almost started laughing. I said, they're not going broke. I said, they got plenty of money. I said, the problem is they just don't want to spend theirs. Now, why would you say it's worse than it is? Why? Are you looking for a handout? What's your deal? I don't get it. Then other people say it's better than it is. You know, you listen to some parents brag about their kids and you would think, man, you know what? Jesus has got competition. Crazy, isn't it? Why can't we just speak the truth? Tell it like it is. Be honest. You say, well, preacher, what do you do when, you know, somebody shows you their newborn baby and it's just not a beautiful baby? Everybody ever see an ugly baby? Okay, there's some out there, you know. Right. And not everybody can be a Gerber baby. But anyway, what do you do with that? You don't go, oh, that baby is, man, that's ugly. Now, that's true, but you don't want to say that. But you know what you can say? Oh, ain't that precious? That's right. Ain't that precious? Every baby's precious, are they not? Not every baby's beautiful, but everyone's precious. And you never know, sometimes they grow out of that. Well, you don't have to be brutal with the truth, but you ought to speak the truth. You say, how can one keep from lying? How about telling the truth? If you tell the truth, then you don't have to remember what you said because the truth doesn't change. We have far too many believers who are more interested in making themselves look good than they are in telling the truth. It is as if thou shalt not bear false witness does not apply to them because they're special. Lying is an abomination, and it is something that God hates. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Now, God hates all sin, but when he says something is an abomination, that takes it to a whole new level. You know, we talk about there's a lot of abominations mentioned in the Bible, and some of us are guilty of abominations, and we don't even realize it. Lying happens to be one of them. Notice it says a proud look. Pray tell me what you got to be proud of. What do you have that God did not give you? We got nothing to be proud of. Matter of fact, you know what you said? Well, you ought to know my great heritage that I come from. Really? You ought to know mine. You came from the same heritage I came from. We came from Adam and Eve. And they took of the forbidden fruit. They took that which did not belong to them. We're nothing but we came from people who stole. Is that really your proud heritage? I don't think so. You know, what else have you proud of? Your intellect? Just because other people, when they were in line, God said, here's some trains, here's some brains, and you took brains over trains. I mean, I'm glad you got an intellect. I'm glad you got, something on the coconut. But if you were to pass, I think the human race would still be okay. Are you proud of your riches? It's because you got more money in the pocket than somebody else? Well, who gave you that ability to work and to earn those wages? God did. I'm telling you, we got nothing to be proud of. You know, when you look back, where did we come from? We came from dirt. Dust to dust. We're nothing but dirt balls. And we ought to praise God and give him the glory for anything he's done with that dirt. A proud look. Notice this one. A lying tongue. You see that? That's an abomination. You say, what's a lie? I don't know. Figure it out. How about it's not speaking the truth? How about it's deliberate deceitfulness? Hands that shed innocent blood. You see that? Murderers. This is all in the same category, what God hates. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Then notice this. This one's mentioned twice. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Twice it's mentioned there. It must really be awful to God. And why shouldn't it? He is the God of truth. You may call lying a fib. You may excuse it by saying, well, there's no harm in it. You may minimize it by saying it was a little white lie, but all lying is deceitful, all lying is dishonest, and not once should it be associated with God's people. Neither Abraham nor Sarah had to lie. They had a lapse of faith and a lack of integrity, and that led them to telling lies. Then the psalmist goes on to write, and speaketh truth in his heart. Because truth is in their heart, it comes out of their lips. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. I'll never forget one time I'm eating lunch with somebody who claimed to be a Christian. And all of a sudden they started spewing forth some profanity. And I snapped my head around, looked at them. And this is what they told me. They said, well, God knows my heart and it's clean. I said, no, he knows your heart and it's filthy. That's why those filthy words came out your mouth. Unbelievable, isn't it? We don't need to be, let me say this. We need to be ruled by the truth of God's word and not by the lies that we come up with. Then he says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, a person with integrity isn't going to go around someone's back and badmouth them. If they have something to say, they will say to it to that person, they'll say it in private. You know, one of the tragic things I think that's going on in the last week in America is Elon Musk and our president, Donald Trump, airing their dirty laundry in front of everybody. Do it in private if you got a beef. Work it out. Here's what we're guilty of. Someone offends us in the church, and if it is severe enough in our minds, what happens is we leave the church instead of confronting the offender. And the offender just goes on his merry way, not knowing that they did the wrong. And then if we stay, this is another thing that happens. We like to tell everyone else what they did. And we never address the wrongdoer themselves. While they go on in their ignorance, you become and we become backbiters, and we violate the principle of church discipline that's found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. There it reads, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. They are not going to do damage to someone else, nor try to hurt them. This would include the evil of slamming another's character or ruining their reputation. Neither will they take up a reproach against another, whether it is true or whether it is false. Too many have the idea that if it's true, you have the right to spread it. A person with integrity will not be a manure spreader, for they have learned to control the beast that lies between their teeth. Verse 4 of Psalm 15 tells us, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. They don't have any heroes that are wicked people. You know, it is amazing to me today, the heroes people have. This Luigi Mangione or whatever his name is. He shoots a father of two or three children who has a wife, he's a CEO, shoots him in the back, and everybody thinks he's a hero because he killed somebody that's a CEO of an insurance company. Unbelievable! I don't know why this trial's taken so long. They got videotape. I say condemn him and hang him. He's not a hero. He's the worst of humanity. Some people have thugs for their heroes. Other people have all kinds of people they idolize that are ne'er-do-wells of the baser sort. Now, why is that? Because of our evil nature, that sin nature within us? These people ought not to be praised. They ought to be condemned. Goes on to say, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. They give honor to whom honor is due. For they stand for what is right when it is popular to do so and when it's not. They love the Lord and those that live for him. It goes on to say, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. You see, when he promises something, even if it ends up hurting him, he still keeps his word even if he gets a better offer. Listen, I've had missionaries call me up and schedule a meeting. Then they call me up and cancel it after we get them a hotel and everything else. And then they say, well, you know what, preacher, I'm going to go over to this bigger church, or I'm going to go over here. We got a mission conference. And I said, well, you already made an obligation to be here. Yeah, but you know what, can I put that off for some other time? I said, yeah, you can put it off for never, because you're never coming back here again. These people they don't have integrity. You know, I was always taught you dance with the one that you brought. Amen? Now, that's a crude way of saying you just do what you say you're going to do. Amen? And if a better offer comes along, you turn it down. No, I've already got something planned. And you know what? It may even be to your hurt. But you do what you say you're going to do. He putteth out not his money to usury. That means they're givers. They know it's more blessed to give than to receive. They're not looking to profit off of everything they gave to somebody else. You got $100 you can borrow me? Sure. But it'll cost you $120. Really? 20% interest? Why can't you just give them $100? And hopefully you might get it back. You know, when you give some, yeah, you know, here's the thing. You guys know Rick Stuckey, most of you. But you know what he says? I never borrow anything to anybody. I just give it to them. That way, he says, it never ruins a relationship. You know, a lot of relationships are ruined over money. And it doesn't have to be a big amount of money either. And it's a crying shame. Why can't you just give it? What's wrong with that? If they have a need, give it. Don't expect a profit off it. And goes on to say, nor take of the reward against the innocent. That means they can't be bought with a reward for taking a stand against somebody who has done nothing wrong. This psalm concludes with, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. They're a person of truth. And since truth doesn't change, neither does the one with integrity. They're steadfast. They're firmly established. They're one who walks uprightly. They have godly character, and they're not just a character. The character they display is the result of the integrity of their heart. This gives them a life of honesty, transparency, and decency. Listen, before I got saved, when I was growing up in my family, you know what my nickname was? Honest John. Even as a little fella, I was a terrible liar. If you're going to be terrible at something, lying's a good thing to be terrible at. Now, I wouldn't always tell them everything. My mom used to say, you always got to ask them the right questions. But when you ask him the right questions, he will tell you the truth. See, I wouldn't offer information freely, but I wasn't going to lie about it. You know, I've seen some people, some Christians, they'll lie at the drop of a hat, and they drop the hat to do the lying. A person of integrity can't live with themselves when they don't do what is right. It's not so much what others know about them, but what they know about themselves that bothers them. They will do what they must to make things right. A person of integrity is willing to pay the price to do right, and not just because doing right pays off. Jesus was integrity personified in a human body. Everything about him exemplified integrity. He was the perfect man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He always went about doing good. He did not do anything he shouldn't have had. He never used his tongue in an unlawful manner. He always spoke the truth. He was honest. He was everything God intended man to be. He set the perfect righteous example for every one of us. His life on earth shows what integrity is all about. This matter of integrity of the heart is more important than money, possessions, and popularity. Your integrity, honesty, character, testimony are more valuable than anything else. Now, there are some blessings connected with integrity. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says that integrity will guide us, meaning it'll keep us on the right track. It says the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity is a guide. It is a protection for us. Perversion or deceit will destroy us. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of being protected and safe by God. In Psalm 25, verse 21, it says this about integrity. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Now, integrity will not only guide us, but it'll preserve those who practice it. Sounds like it will lengthen my life and it'll lengthen my ability to serve the Lord. It gives one fellowship with God. Psalm 41, verse 12 says, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Now, integrity will undergird us. It'll hold us in a place where we can fellowship with God. You can take this to the bank. No integrity, no fellowship. When we abandon the integrity of our heart, we are no longer walking in the light as He is in the light, and therefore we are out of fellowship with the Lord. Then it'll bring a blessing to our children. Now, we should all want that as parents, should we not? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. And then notice this, his children are blessed after him. Huh. This man, because of his integrity, left more for his children than the inheritance of money, houses, and land. He left them an example of one who was honest, had godly character, could be counted on to keep his word. He would be one who told the truth, was void of hypocrisy. Although he wasn't perfect, he was definitely blameless. He stood for what is right, did what he could to correct any wrong he had done. He was one who was worthy of honor and made it easy for his children to respect him. You know, the Bible says our children are to honor their parents. But parents, you need to make sure your life is worthy of honor. A person with integrity may not always be right, but their desire is to do right, and they will do right to the best of their ability. I believe we have an integrity problem. You see, we're not always honest as we should be. We lie for... Lying is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Some are hypocritical. Some are prone to backbiting. Perhaps they even want to do harm to someone else. Maybe they are manure spreaders, believing public confession of another's sin is good for their soul. Then others, perchance, fail to honor those who fear the Lord, or even go so far as selling out the Lord Jesus, the innocent one, for less than 30 shekels of silver as they take their side with the enemies of Christ and live in such a manner that betrays him. We are in much need of integrity as God's people. We ought to have a consistent walk with the Lord. We ought to be protected and preserved. And we ought to be... able to leave a blessing behind to our children because we are people of integrity. Let's resolve the purpose in our hearts to always do and say and be what is right before others, ourselves, and most importantly, before our Lord. For He knows if we have integrity in the heart or not. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.